This month we are celebrating Kartik, and we're focusing upon the pastime of Mother Yashoda binding Krishna. So certainly you've all been discussing this pastime, yes? And you know the origin of the Damodarastic prayer and what the Kartik Vrata or vow is all about. According to Srila Sanatan Goswami, in his commentary known as Digdarshini, he has written a commentary on the Sri Damodarastic prayers, these eight prayers that we sing. The prayers are said to be authored by Sri Satyavrata Muni, but actually Srila Sanatana Goswami says that these are Nitya Siddha or eternally perfect prayers that manifest through the mouth of Satyavrata Muni in a conversation with Narada Muni, Sonaka Kumar, and others. So, Sonaka Kumar, what's the four Kumars? Sanat. Okay, so Sonaka Kumar, yes, not Sonaka. Sonaka. So, why do we celebrate this particular ritual, you might call it? Because in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, written by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, that's a compilation of all the procedures that Vaishnavs follow. So there, Gopal Bhatta Goswami has written that at this particular time, we perform what is called the Kartik Vrata, or it's called the Damodar Vrata. Vrata means vow. It's also called the Urja Vrata. These are all different names for this particular approximately month-long offering, glorifying the Damodar Leela. So, you know, at the end of the prayer, you sing Namo Radhikayai Twadiya Priyayai Namo Nantalilaya Devaya Dubyam. There's a hint given of Srimati Radharani. Only a hint. Because Srila Sanatana Goswami says that everything should have a sweet ending. So at the very end, you get a reference, direct reference by name to Srimati Radharani. But only a quick reference, because she is part of Krishna's intimate pastimes, which are not meant for public distribution. Therefore, you only get a hint at the end. Namo Radhikaya Twadiya Priyaya. She's so dear to Krishna. This once again shows you that Krishna's intimate leelas are not meant for public broadcast, because they'll simply misunderstand. So keeping in line with that, the prayer only gives you a glimpse, a direct glimpse of Srimati Radharani. But there's a hint given earlier. Muhus chumbitam bimba. Let's see if I can. What? What's the line with Gopya in it? Let's see. Iti diriksali labi ananda kunde shakoshanamajna. No? Where? Okay, we'll find it. Yes. It was a line before. Idam te mukambojam achanta nilar vritam kundalai snigda rakshaischa gopya. That's number five. So there it is said that Krishna's lotus face, Sri Mukha, the auspicious lotus face of the Supreme Lord, is kissed again and again by Mother Yasoda, Vritam Kuntalai Snigda Raktaishta Gopya. So you have the lotus face, and surrounding that lotus face is dark blue hair. And Vritam Kuntalai, that hair is soft and glossy. Curly, soft and glossy. Raktaish, it's red tinged. So, Vritam Kuntalai Snigda Raktaish Jagopya Muhush Chumbitam Bimba Rakta Dalamme. Krishna's face is kissed again and again by the gopi. But actually, Sanatana Goswami points out that that word gopi can refer either to Mother Yasoda or Srimati Radharani. But at that point in the prayer, Srimati Radharani is hidden. But at the end, Sri Satyavrata Muni says, Namo Radhikayai Twadiya Priyayai, the dear one to Krishna, Srimati Radharani, I offer my obeisances. And Namo Nanta Lilaya Devaya Tubhyam, I offer my obeisances to Krishna's unlimited divine pastimes. So this is Vaishnava procedure. Everything is very personal. Just like you wouldn't like to have your personal affairs broadcast all over the world to people who don't know you. No one likes that. Similarly, we don't do that to Krishna. We do not discuss Krishna's intimate leelas with non-devotees. We only discuss them with those who have been sensitized to the Lord's inconceivable attributes. And one of those inconceivable attributes of the Lord is that he can become bound by his devotees' love. So when we celebrate this Kartik Vrata, we are glorifying C.C. Radha Damodar. Actually, another name for Srimati Radharani is Urjeshwari. She's the queen of the Urja Vrata. She's the queen of the vow to glorify Lord Damodar. So, these are some understandings given by Sri Sanatana Goswami. The particular melody that we're singing it to, there's a particular Sanskrit name given to that melody, which means it's like a twisting snake. So everything is very deep and rich in Vaishnav culture. Nothing is whimsical. In Western so-called culture, the more whimsical, the better. But in the culture of loving Krishna, everything is very sensitive and personal and non-whimsical. The ways how to please Krishna are known to the dearmost lovers of Krishna, and they pass that information down to everyone. So there's nothing whimsical or capricious. It is known that this kind of melody is most pleasing to Krishna's senses. So this is just some background information to why we're offering these lamps to glorify Lord Damodar. Remember, we're actually glorifying Sisi Radha Damodar. All right. We'll just read from Krishna book. We've just celebrated Govardhan Puja. And this morning, we were speaking of anger. The verse said that when self-realization begins in you, then you're free from anger, which can rise up in you suddenly like something arising in the sky. What was it? Is it up there?
subdues the powerful enemy and does subdue the powerful enemy, one who inquires after the self realization.
So anger, which awakens suddenly in the body as if falling from the sky. Yes. You know, something suddenly falls from the sky. So suddenly anger arises in you. So Govardhan Puja involves the wrath of King Indra. He was angry. He kept saying over and over again, who is this talkative boy, Krishna? And why are those simple agriculturalists in Vrindavan listening to him? This little boy Krishna, he's not aware of the cosmic situation. He doesn't understand the demigods. He doesn't understand I'm in charge. So why are these simple farmers listening to him? These simple forest dwellers? I'll show them. They've become bewildered. Who is this little boy? What does he know? Now, you have to understand, Prabhupada explains in Krishna book, it's not that Indra was demoniac or anti-Krishna. What was Indra's problem? Who knows? He could not... Yes? I mean, that's certainly there. But I'm going after something else. Yes? He couldn't... He knew that Krishna is the supreme, but he couldn't believe that this little boy in Vrindavan was actually the Krishna. He couldn't accept it. That's why the Lord says what in Bhagavad Gita? Name vidu suragana prabhavam na maharsha aham adhya hi devanam. What's the last line? Maharshinam chasarvasha. Krishna says neither the demigods nor the sages understand me, because in every case I'm the source of the sages and the demigods. So Indra shows this. It's not that he was anti-Krishna, it's not that he didn't accept Krishna's authority, but he just couldn't believe that this little boy in Vrindavan was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore he got angry. And what did he do in his anger? He called for the special clouds which come at the time of cosmic annihilation. Particularly he called for the Sambartika cloud. Go to Vrindavan and just shatter the place with rain and ice and winds that are out of season. And as you all know, you discussed this Govardhan Puja. On Govardhan Puja you discussed the whole Leela? Or you just ate mountains of halava? So the Sambartika cloud was hesitating. Oh, go to Vrindavan? Isn't that a special place? I don't know. We can do that. But Indra said, don't worry, I'll be riding along with you to encourage you. I'll be riding on the back of, what does Indra ride on? Huh? Elephant. I'll be coming along with you. So they all went on that assignment. So when all this sheets of ice and high winds and rain were coming, Krishna immediately understood, this is not the season for that kind of thing. What is this due to? Is it due to El Nino? No. It's due to Indra's wrath. This is all a display of anger. And how did Krishna solve the situation of Indra's wrath? He said, this demigod's become very puffed up, thinking he's the all-in-all, proud. So with Krishna's little finger, with one finger on his left hand, he lifts up Govardhan Hill for a week. All this pastime is coming about because of Indra's anger. He failed to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He couldn't believe that that little cowherd boy, about 8 years old, that is my Lord. He couldn't understand that. And he also became intoxicated by his own power. And he was just thinking of himself. Ordinarily, that's the sign of a demon. But for Indra, it just means forgetfulness. Now, what about Kamsa? There you have a demon. He thought his plans were the everything. And Krishna was an impediment to his life. Therefore, he wanted to kill Krishna. He knew, either I kill Krishna or Krishna kills me. Now, he actually thought it was possible to kill Krishna. So what happened when Narada Muni came to see Kamsa? You know, after the Arastasura demon, the bull demon, was killed, then Narada Muni, he chose that moment to come and accelerate things. Narada Muni is a transcendental agitator. He knows Krishna is here to kill the demons. Let me expedite the whole process by making things happen quicker. So he went to Kamsa and said, "Oh, by the way, I have some things I'd like to tell you, in case you didn't know. Vasudev, who you trusted so much, he's cheated you." Vasudev, he did not have a daughter, as you thought. That is the daughter of Mother Yashoda. And Vasudev did have Krishna, as well as Balaram. But they're hiding in Vrindavan, those two little boys. They hid in Vrindavan. And I'll tell you another thing. All the demons that you sent to Vrindavan to kill any newborn children there, all these demons have been killed by Krishna. What was Kamsa's reaction when he heard this? "Oh, well, that's just the way things are." Okay. So, Vasudev cheated me and Krishna's alive somewhere. Oh, all right. No. Being a demon, Kamsa immediately got angry. "Where is this Vasudev? He cheated me. I'm going to kill him." He grabbed his sword. "I'm going to kill that Vasudev." But then what did Narada Muni say? Very expert Narada Muni. "Wait, wait. Why are you trying to kill Vasudev? He's not the one who's supposed to kill you. Better try to kill Krishna." Yeah, Narada is pointing Kamsa in the right direction. "No, no, no. Not that way. Point your sword this way." And Kamsa says, "Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay. But, yes, okay. Thank you, Narada." Thank you for that help. And... But still, Kamsa, he imprisons Vasudeva and Devaki just to, as the Krishna book says, just to satisfy his wrath. He's got to do something with the wrath. He realized, why should I kill them? Why should I kill Vasudeva? It's Krishna, he's the one who should die. But he still has to do something. This is the nature of wrath. You've got to do something about it. It's got to hit somebody. You ever had the experience of being angry and you just couldn't find a suitable object for your wrath? Generally, married men, they like to take it out on their wife. They have a tough day at work and they like to, you know, show their irritation at the wife. Or sometimes, if you have a child, you know, you take it out on your child. I know my father, he was materially very frustrated. So he would sometimes try to take it out on me. So my mother would send me on long trips to my relatives, you know, because she thought, "Oh, he's being too harsh on my oldest son." So it's like that in the material world. You have to take out your anger on someone. I'm sure you've all felt that frustration of being angry and you can't find somebody to yell at. You can't find a suitable object of your wrath. It's a very uncomfortable feeling, right? You got to find someone. Who said yes? So, Kamsa, he had to do that. He had to put Vasudev and Devaki in prison. And then what did he do? He called for the wrestlers. "I want you to kill Krishna. We're going to have a wrestling match. Krishna and Balaram will come. You'll easily kill them. And just in case, then he called for Akrura. He knew Akrura's well-wisher of the Yadu dynasty, but he figured that Akrura is also his friend. So he very tactfully speaks to Akrura. Akrura, I have no better friend than you in the whole Yadu dynasty. I'm coming to take shelter of you just like Indra takes shelter of Vishnu. See, the demons, they can speak about Shastra when they want to. Just like Indra takes shelter of Vishnu, I'm coming to take shelter of you. I have a favor to ask of you. I want you to go to Vrindavan with some beautiful, with this beautiful chariot and get Krishna and Balaram. Bring them back for a wrestling match in which they will be killed. I'll have it all planned. There'll be the elephant Kuvalyapid at the gate. If he doesn't stomp them to death and they actually make it into the wrestling arena, they'll be the wrestlers. They'll kill them for sure. And what else will I do? Well, I'll naturally kill Vasudev, and of course I'll kill my own father. He's actually never accepted my plan, so I'll kill my father. And don't worry, I have many demons helping me. Jarasandha, a big gorilla demon, Dravida. There'll be no problem. And in a very classic demoniac way, Kamsa said, it'll be very nice to rule the world without obstruction. This is a demoniac mentality. It'll be very nice to rule the world without interference. Sometimes we all feel like that. It'll be very nice to control without anybody questioning it. It'll be very nice to rule my home or my city or my country or the whole world without any inconvenience. This is a demoniac mentality. No one can control without inconvenience. Only Krishna, because Krishna is the actual controller. But the demons, they always try for that. Let me rule without any hitch. Let there be no problem in my sovereignty. So, Kamsa told Akrura that the demigods, I want to get rid of all their supporters on the earth. All the kings who are supporting the demigods, I'm going to root them out. I've also got so many supporters who will help me do this. So you please go to Vrindavan and get these two boys. So what was Akrura's reply? Your plan is very excellent. It's definitely brilliantly designed to counteract all the hindrances. But let me remind you one thing, that although the plans may be brilliant, it doesn't mean they automatically get their results. We're all subject to higher authority, and sometimes our plans work and sometimes not. But in any case, I will do what you say. I'll go to Vrindavan and get Krishna and Balaram, and then we'll see what happens. This is Akrura. So, when you study Kamsa, you see anger at work. You know, when Yogamaya was born, supposedly born of Devaki, you know, when Kamsa heard the eighth child crying, he immediately burst into the room where the child was to be born, and he saw the daughter there, and Devaki was begging, "Don't kill her, don't kill her." Even though it wasn't Devaki's child, still she's acting in a maternal way to protect the child. "Don't kill her, I promise she will marry one of your sons." Now, Kamsa immediately, just think, a newborn baby, he immediately went to grab the legs of the child and dashed the little baby's head against the stone wall. Brand new baby. So this is anger, this intense anger that Kamsa possessed. The anger of Kamsa is so great that Narada Muni, when thinking of demons like Kamsa and Shishupal, he would blaspheme Krishna when he was a little boy before he could even talk right. He would be blaspheming Krishna. So what does Narada Muni say in the seventh canto? He says, if only I could have that kind of intensity in my love for Krishna that these demons have in hating Krishna. So, when we think of anger, we can think of Kamsa, particularly this line by Kamsa, it would be very pleasant to rule the world without any hindrance. That's the demon's desire. Let me be the Lord with no hindrance, with no interference. So Indra, he doesn't have that demoniac mentality, he just couldn't understand Krishna. And he became caught up in his own so-called prowess. So when he came to offer prayers to Krishna, he said some funny things. He came very stealthily and offered his dandavats. He's very ashamed. And he revealed his mind. He said, you know, I just thought that under the guise of the Govardhan Puja, you just wanted my share of the sacrifices? I thought that this was just a ruse. This Govardhan Puja was just a ruse for you to, you know, take what belonged to me. I thought this whole Govardhan Puja was just like a front, you know, for you to get my share of the sacrifice. So this shows how Indra was making the mistake of Aropita, imposing his material mentality on the Supreme Lord. Atmavan Manyate Jagat. Everyone thinks that the whole world's thinking like me. So he's, well, I would think that way, so I just thought Krishna was going through all this just to get what was meant for me. Not knowing that everything belongs to Krishna, or forgetting that everything belongs to Krishna. So that was very interesting. Revelation by Indra. Shows you how easy it is to become envious of Krishna. We'll just read a couple of pages of that. Prayers by Indra, King of Heaven. When Krishna saved the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the wrath of Indra by lifting Govardhan Hill, a Surabhi cow from Goloka Vrindavan, as well as King Indra from the heavenly planets, appeared before him. Indra, the King of Heaven, was conscious of his offense before Krishna. Therefore, he stealthily appeared before him in a secluded place. He immediately fell down at the lotus feet of Krishna, although his own crown was dazzling like sunshine. Indra knew about the exalted position of Krishna, because Krishna is the master of Indra. But he could not believe that Krishna could come down and live in Vrindavan among the cowherd men. He just couldn't believe that. The Supreme Personality of Godhead living amongst these cowherd men in this simple little forest village? When Krishna defied the authority of Indra, Indra became angry because he thought that he was all in all within this universe and that no one was as powerful as he. But after this incident, his false puffed up prestige was destroyed. Being conscious of his subordinate position, he appeared before Krishna with folded hands and began to offer the following prayers. So this is what we were talking about. My dear Lord, Indra said, being puffed up by my false prestige, I thought that you had offended me by not allowing the cowherd men to perform the Indra Yajna. And I thought that you wanted to enjoy the offerings that were arranged for the sacrifice. I thought that in the name of a Govardhan sacrifice, you were taking my share of profit. And therefore I mistook your position. Now by your grace, I can understand that you are the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, and that you are transcendental to all material qualities. Your transcendental position is Vishuddha Sattva, which is above the platform of the material mode of goodness, and your transcendental abode is beyond the disturbance of the material qualities. Your name, fame, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes are all beyond this material nature, and they are never disturbed by the three material modes. Your abode is accessible only for one who undergoes severe austerities and penances, and becomes completely freed from the onslaught of material qualities like passion and ignorance. if someone thinks that when you enter this material world, you accept the modes of material nature, he is mistaken. The waves of the material qualities are never able to touch you, and you certainly do not accept them when you are present within this world. Your lordship is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is Krishna. Even when he comes within this world, he's got nothing to do with the modes of nature. They can't touch him. Krishna is never under the influence of the laws of nature. Yet Mother Yashoda can bind him. So in the last prayer of the Dhammadharastak, we say, Namastestu Dhamne, Spuradipti Dhamne. First you offer obeisances to the rope. What is special about the rope? It's shiny with an effulgence. Sanatana Goswami says that the Dhammadharastak prayers are suggesting that the rope that binds Krishna's belly is the source of the Brahmajyoti. So you offer your obeisances to the rope, and then you offer your obeisances to the belly of the Supreme Lord. Namaste stu dhamne spradipti dhamne twaidi odarayata vishvasya dhamne. And what is within that belly? The whole cosmic manifestation. Now, are you some kind of nut offering obeisances to a rope and to someone's belly? You have to understand the special thing about the rope and the belly. As Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, from the belly of the Lord comes the lotus flower from the navel. And in that lotus flower are the seeds for the 14 planetary systems, Radharani, and all the unlimited pastimes of Krishna. Any questions? Certainly. It is a devotional principle to become angry when the Lord or his devotee is blasphemed as a devotional. That is proper use of anger. Everything has a use in devotional service. Anger also. One should not remain passive when the Lord or his devotee is being offended. Yes.
You said Kansi's mood of wanting to do everything his own way without influence is demoniac. Isn't it most of us would like to have no influences in what we do?
That is a demoniac tendency. I don't know if most have that. Or is it just you? But we're trying to rise above that quality of material nature. Let me have my way without any interference. It'll be very pleasant to rule the world without obstruction. So I'll have my demoniac friends clear the world out of supporters of any other way than my own. Like Yudhisthira Maharaj, before the Rajasuya Yajna, what did Yudhisthira say to Krishna when he was hearing, after he heard how Krishna arranged for the killing of Jarasandha, splitting him apart? Yudhisthira said that it's amazing that although we are meant to carry out your orders, you are accepting our orders. Because Krishna is respecting in his pastimes, he respects his elders, and he respects the rulers like Yudhisthira and Ugrasena. So Yudhishthira was saying that. It's amazing that we are meant to carry out your order, to take your order on our heads, but yet you are carrying out our orders. So a real Krishna conscious government leader wants to simply carry out the orders of the Lord and doesn't become puffed up even when the Lord appears to be carrying out his orders. Anything else? All right, it's always wonderful to discuss Krishna book in the evening. That is the life of a devotee. That's the reward for a devotee. You're just satisfied sitting on the floor and hearing about Krishna. All right. Hare Krishna. All glories to Prabhupada.